Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts. And please share those on social media. A lot of great writers over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Got a lot to talk about tonight with Rob and our guest, Heather Robinson, journalist for the New York Post. We're looking forward to hearing from her. I know something that she wants to talk about that I'm sure Rob and I will be happy to talk about as well, is that we just recently had the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and we've seen all the photo montages of memories from September 11th, and you've seen the Bushes, you've seen Obama, mini Mike Bloomberg. The Clintons were there, of course, but people that were obviously missing were President Trump and Mayor Rudy Giuliani were not at the public ceremonies. Of course, President Trump did make an appearance to the fire station and visit the first responders, which was very nice of President Trump to do. I'm sure they appreciated that a great deal. But what is very concerning is Mayor Rudy Giuliani's reputation and how he is being treated. You have to wonder what they will put about him in the history books. This guy, 20 years ago, was America's mayor. I was only in eighth grade at the time, but I remember seeing Mayor Rudy Giuliani on the news day in and day out. And this guy, you could count on him for strength and courage, and he did a fantastic job for the city of New York. Of course, I live in Illinois, but I am joined by two New Yorkers, Heather and Rob. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. I don't even know if they were trying to ignore him, but more so trying to change history. Revisionist. They don't want him a part of it, a part of 9/11. And not only that, I think it goes a lot deeper. They want to rewrite everything about 9/11 and what happened. I was listening to the coverage of 9/11 20 years ago, and there are teachers that are actually saying that we should reimagine 9/11, and what we're being told is completely wrong. And this was coming from, and I'm going to say it, it was coming from a woman of Arab descent, a Muslim. No, she wasn't Talib Rashid Talib or Ilhan Omar, and we all know how they feel about 9/11. This is dangerous. This is extremely dangerous. And as I've said before, this will not end well at all. 9/11 is part of our history. Unfortunately, it needs to be taught. We need to know that the hijackers came from Muslim countries. We need to know that they were radical Muslims following the Islamic faith. We need to know that. There's nothing wrong with that. No, we are not indicting all Muslims. But to try and sanitize what happened because we're offending a few is bull. We need to go back and make certain that our kids know what happened. And a lot of them don't know because it's not being taught at school. I would think that they would know. I remember it clearly because I was in New York. I remember the day so vividly. I was at work getting ready to go home. I remember it's as if though it happened yesterday. But while my memory is there, there are a lot of other people that don't. Like you said, Andrew, you were in the eighth grade. Imagine the kids that were just born. To them, it's like me knowing about the Vietnam War or World War I or World War II. We can't forget history or else we will forget it. And I'm afraid that we will forget it with everything that's transpiring in the country right now. No, I'm going to shut up because I want Heather to come in, but there's so much more that I want to say about this, but we cannot forget 9/11. It cannot be sanitized. Rudy Giuliani played an integral part in 9/11 in holding not only New York City together, but I think the entire country. Heather, go ahead.
Absolutely, Rob. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, which I think normally does a great job. My mother walked into the room and said, "Oh, what are they saying? I guess there's a lot of recollection about Rudy, huh?" And I said, "You know what? There's no mention of him in this entire 9/11 issue." And then I thought about it and I realized, well, I had seen some of the TV coverage, CNN and Fox. I don't recall there being anything. Somebody told me there was some mention of him on CBS. Anyway, what I remember as a New Yorker, I was as well at that time, just how terrified, how shell-shocked we were. Even, I have to say, though I was a supporter and I think he had his strengths, President Bush, I think looking back, W. Bush, if we're, you know, honest about it, and, you know, I think the man was shell-shocked, and who could blame him, I guess. But I think that the leader who really emerged in that terrifying, confusing moment of crisis as the person to calm the very shell-shocked, confused country and to rush to the front lines, he has showed real physical bravery, was really Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he went down there. What I recall is he almost lost his life. I mean, he was running at one point. I'm not even sure it was smart. I mean, he was so brave. I mean, that was his way, was to go to the scene of a crisis. He did that throughout his years as mayor. As a community news journalist at the time, I remember, you know, if there was a significant shooting, if there was a water main break, if there was a, you know, 5-alarm fire, Giuliani would be there, usually within minutes. He was a very hands-on mayor of New York City. Some people felt kind of a control freak, but he really knew what was happening, who was in charge, what the plan was. And I think that on 9/11, he demonstrated a kind of courage and a calm and a clear-headedness that the whole country clung to, because our president was in a daze. I don't think he imagined this in 100 million years. And I think that this whole part of history seems to have been buried. I mean, it was like the media was just not including him in the telling of the story. And that was very disturbing. I mean, you don't have to like him or agree with his, stance in recent years, but I think it's very ominous when you're talking about a huge historic event and one of the major players of that day being ignored by the media now.
Yeah, I agree, Heather. And you mentioned something very interesting there, that President Bush at the time, he was actually pretty polarizing. He just came off of that tough election against Al Gore. And Mayor Rudy Giuliani just seemed like someone that all Americans loved at the time. Like I said, I'm from Illinois here, and Rudy Giuliani was universally loved here. I remember my mom, she's a Democrat. She loved Mayor Rudy Giuliani. But you look at the way Rudy Giuliani is right now, it's just shocking to say, because he's one of the most polarizing figures in all of politics. You either love him or you hate him. I think we all love him, but obviously a lot of people feel differently now.
I hear you, Andrew. And I the other thing that occurs to me is the old saying, victory has 1,000 fathers, defeat is an orphan. I think that when people are riding high, the whole world loves them, wants to be near them, praises them. But when they are perceived as having failed, as I think happened because of Rudy Giuliani's loyalty to former President Trump, suddenly how quickly they forget all the good that he did as mayor, as America's mayor, the intellect and this effective policy making and the courage of that day. I think, yes, it's a distortion to forget all of that. And I think it's unfortunately, it reminds me a little bit of the thought that pops in my head is about Churchill. Churchill led England and, through WW2, and really, I think, is regarded as the figure who more than any other single individual probably helped to prevent Europe from falling with his policy. But also his amazing command of the English language and his inspiring speeches and leadership to keep the people of England with hope and unity, and if it weren't for him, all of Europe very well might have fallen. But then, once the war was over, the Brits voted him out in short order. And it always struck me as kind of odd, but maybe that's something about human nature. People tend to follow and praise when they need somebody, but then there's something in human nature maybe that causes people to maybe reject the person who is associated with the time when they were weak or what, I don't know. But I just, you know, I think that Giuliani, you know, was a great leader in a time of crisis, and that should be acknowledged and should be remembered.
Well, I think the other thing at play here is it's by design. The media no longer likes Rudy Giuliani because of his support for Donald Trump. I know a lot of people will say, oh, no, it's that's not it. No, that is it. We just have to be honest and accept it. Because he's with Donald Trump, they don't like him. Now, that being said, they didn't like him when he was the mayor because they felt that he was too strict. He was too harsh. He was too direct. And he played them like a cheap fiddle. It didn't matter what they would say. He would say, that's fine. I'm going to do this. And that's what I liked about him. And when you're governing a city the size of New York, you need a no-nonsense mayor. Now, his private life, they didn't like it. Okay, I didn't like it either. But I'm not looking at his private life. I'm looking at what he's doing for the city. And he cleaned the city up. We have to give that to him. Although, of course, the media is trying to rewrite history. And that is a reason why they are so dangerous. President Trump once said that they are a threat to or a danger to America. And I believe it. Now, he didn't say those words exactly, but he alluded to it. And I think that is true. Because you look at some of the things that they're doing, the way they spin lies. And the truth is never getting out there. And if it is out there, it's their version of the truth. And for them to shut down Giuliani completely as if though he did not exist.
How unbalanced many of these media companies are. They're very one-sided. They're very dismissive of anyone they don't agree with. And, you know, they to me, this is very agenda driven. I mean, it's one thing if you don't agree with Giuliani's recent stance and some of his choices, but certainly to leave him out of the story, I agree, is really journalistic malpractice.
And why would they want to do it other than the fact that they have an agenda? They want to rewrite history. But as I started off saying earlier on, when you have a professor or teacher who's saying that we need to reimagine 9/11, we need to go back and retell the story because everything that happened is not exactly what happened. What do you mean it didn't happen? You had radical Islamists to take over a plane and drive it, fly it into the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And then the same thing at the Pentagon. You want to tell me that that didn't happen? That is huge, and we should still be talking about it. And kids should be made aware of it, and they should be able to talk about it intelligently, especially Americans. Now, if you were to go overseas, and if you were to ask any of the kids there, they would be able to tell you the date, the time, and everything. Only in America, where we're saying that we want to educate our kids, and we want our kids to compete with STEM and everything else, they don't know about our history. That is a problem. And it just goes into so many different directions as to what we're doing to our kids, not educating them, while other kids are being educated, highly educated. Our kids aren't. Our kids are busy doing everything else, learning about social norms and social experiments, as opposed to learning about our history. Half of them don't even know where Washington, D.C. is. If you were to talk about Washington State, they would think you're talking about Washington, D.C. If you were to talk about Washington, D.C., they would think you're talking about Washington State. They aren't inclined. They don't know because some of our teachers don't know. At one point in time, you had the brightest and the best going into that profession. You no longer have that. You have social justice individuals that are going into the school system, activists. So when you have a situation like 9/11 and it's not being taught, it's in the history books, but it's so sensitive. It's still fresh. It's been 20 years. Our kids should know about it. Our kids should know what happened on that fateful day. They should know that almost 3,000 people died. They should know that there were two tall buildings, the World Trade Center. They should know all of this. They should know that before 9/11, back I think in 1995, there was an unsuccessful attack on the World Trade Center. Why don't they know about this? They should know why we went to Afghanistan, why we went to Iraq, albeit, you know, the disastrous pullout of Afghanistan is like an embarrassment, but they should know who the president was when 9/11 took place, George Bush. All of this information they should know. Why don't they know? Because our school systems are refusing to teach it. And we can't just blame the left and say, well, you know, the left, they're up to their old tricks. No, conservative also, because conservatives, as I've said, have given up so much ground when it comes to so many things in society. They've just decided, okay, I got mine. I'm just going to walk away. I look at the Koch brothers. I always cite the Koch brothers. They give a lot to charities. But there's so much more that they could have done. So much more. So now our educational system, it's full of a bunch of lefties, unfortunately, that don't want to teach this stuff because they feel as if though they're going to hurt someone. But the people that they're hurting are our children, our Americans, because they don't know what happened. And if you forget your history, you're doomed to repeat it. A lot of people don't know the history about Afghanistan and how so many other countries were there. They don't know that at one point with bin Laden, we armed bin Laden against the Russians. And then along the way, bin Laden turned against us. And all those years of hate for America built up, then he created all these little terrorist groups, and then they started attacking us. A lot of people don't know about it. I had forgotten about it, folks. I had forgotten about that history that we had with bin Laden. So it's coming full circle. You look at Afghanistan now. More than likely, someone will come out of that little region, someone that we're bringing here in America, 37,000 Afghanistanians who are going to be mad and kick fight against America. Why? Because look at what we did to their country. We brought them here thinking, oh, they want our democracy. They love our democracy. But when they come here and they see that the struggle is real, that they can't adjust, that our Western culture is a bit too much, someone within the ranks, their child, their son or their daughter, will start to harbor ill feelings toward America. Well, and then they will go on YouTube and then they will look out, seek out all of the radicals. The next thing you know, they will start going to those radical camps. We've got to wake up and we've got to accept what's happening here.
Well, you know, Rob, I hear you. One thing I do disagree with you a little bit about, I think, is I think that the people who helped our troops, the translators and their families, you know, are the really the kinds of immigrants we need. Those are people who from the Islamic world, who, whether they were in Iraq or Afghanistan, people who are threatened now because of their loyalty to American troops and to their help to it for us. I think that those people share our values. They've taken great personal risk and we should be helping them come here. I don't think we have anything to fear from those people in general, because I think, you know, there are plenty of Muslims in the world who do not wish us ill, who are not the radicals. And you know, I think it's hard sometimes to sort through who's who, but to me, one pretty clear indicator is if somebody has taken risks to support America, has become a translator, has, you know, assisted our troops, because those people, you know, took risk to do that. And, you know, I think we should be bringing them. And, you know, I don't mean to shift topics, but actually the other thing I was curious about, whether you guys had an opinion on, is the whole issue of the Haitians, who, one thing I was thinking about today is, for some reason, it seems like, you know, suddenly the Biden administration has taken a very hard line, like all of a sudden it is sending these people back immediately, you know, whereas with the Mexican and Central American and Latin American immigrants and people streaming over the border for all these years, there's been such a liberal kind of attitude. And anyway, I don't know quite what to make of it, you know, but I just think it's kind of worth noting that, you know, we're suddenly seeing, it just seems like there's a lot of politicizing of these issues around who comes here and who doesn't, who gets to stay, as opposed to just careful vetting of people, whoever they are, wherever they're from, try to, you know, if there's any way to determine what their ideologies are, what their loyalties are. That's what we really need to know, you know, not what color their skin and, you know, what country are they from, or even technically what religion are they, but are they pro-America? Are they pro-democracy, human rights, American values, you know, free enterprise and personal responsibility, or are they extremist wackos, you know?
Right.
And, you know.
Well, no, you make a very good point. And I definitely want to provide some commentary on that, but just taking a step back to what you were saying as far as the Afghanistanians that helped us, the translators, I'm all for them coming here. I agree with you. They should come here. They worked in the trenches with our soldiers. And we had a guest on not too long ago, Fanu Malat, and he said that a majority of the translators that worked with our soldiers or worked with Americans, they're the ones who are aware of the Western culture. They have been immersed in it or been introduced to it. So coming here to America won't be as much as a shock as it would be some of the others. Now, my concern is on those Afghanistanians that are coming here that don't have the SIBs, because the ones with the SIBs more than likely had interaction with Western culture or soldiers. But the ones that did not, it seems as if though, from what I've been reading and listening, they've been given preferential treatment for whatever reason, put on the plane, they come here. I'm sure they want to get out of Afghanistan. Okay. No one wants to be there knowing that it's going to be a complete terror bed. That being said, why aren't other Muslim countries opening up their arms to them? And he had said the same thing for about Muslim countries. Why aren't they opening up their arms or their doors to those Afghanistanians who have not had an introduction to Western culture? Because it will be a cultural shock for them. And when they do get here, there will be a struggle. I mean, we're busing them or flying them to different parts of the country. I was reading the other day that I think Texas and Florida will be getting like the lion's share of these individuals. And some of them are deciding which states they want to go to because they have other family members that are there. But I don't think that it's not even fair to them for us to assume that they want this culture. We're looking at, well, you're in a place that's backwards and you have no rights. Whereas if you come here, if they come here, what? We're already telling them that the country is racist. Now we know that's a lie, but they're already saying that it's a racist country. So why would you want more people to come here to a racist country? It just doesn't make any sense.
I think they're very unprincipled on the left, Rob, these leaders. I'm going to sound a little like a lib here myself. I sort of wonder if there might not be some authentic racism in this business of sending the Haitians back immediately.
Absolutely. And please.
You can't send people back. You can't have a hard line on the border. People have the right to make an asylum claim.
But Heather.
And I actually agree with that. I don't think you should be pushing families through in 3 days, because I think that creates all kinds of other unintended negative consequences, such as human trafficking, et cetera. I think you need a vetting process. You need a procedure. But I do think people, I'm Jewish, you know, desperate, you know, refugees from genocide were trying to come to our country. We wouldn't let them in. We sent them back to gas chambers. I don't believe in that. And I think there are people who are truly desperate, you know, who maybe have an asylum claim, but I just don't understand the selectivity of all these policies. First of all, you know, you have people coming up from one direction and you're told that you can't hold them for more than 3 days. And these other people now are here who are presumably equally desperate, if not more so. They're being loaded onto planes immediately without the right to even make a claim.
It doesn't make any sense at all, like you said. And I do look at it and say, is there racism here? Because you're letting, and we had talked about this before, Andrew and I, on a couple of shows ago, we had talked about the border and how they were letting individuals in, but what about the Haitians who were trying to come here? The same thing happened under the Clinton administration. The Haitians tried to come, they sent them back. Same thing happened under the Bush administration. They had an earthquake, they tried to come, they sent them back, and Obama did the same thing. And a lot of them tried to leave their country on small rafts and boats, and they drowned in the ocean. And no one said anything about it. So now we see the pictures of Haitians in Texas creating little shanty towns. It looks deplorable. Yeah. It looks horrible. And you can only imagine the viruses and the diseases that are there. But we hear now that Biden is going to put them on a plane and send them back. And not only that, here's the kicker. They're going to have, I think I read this in the Washington Post, at least 4 or 5 planes daily to get them, round them up, and send them back to Haiti. Now, why would they do it to the Haitians and not the Mexicans?
I don't know why.
I mean, and I'm sure that the Haitians would probably vote Democrat, but why is it?
I don't know, Rob. Maybe not.
No, I'm just
I'm asking you. I don't know a lot about Haitian culture. I mean, are they less of a sure thing for the Democrats? Maybe. I know the Cubans are. And
they're so less, bingo, what you just said. They're less of a sure thing because many of them would probably come and not vote. And that's what the Democrats are looking at. If they came and they voted, great, but they would probably come, not vote, but then they would always look to go back home. Mm-hmm. Democrats know it. They don't like it, so they're going to send them back. So we see this played out. Where are the Joy Reids? Where are the Al Sharptons and the Don Lemons and Rachel Maddow, Anderson Cooper? Why aren't they speaking out against it?
Yeah, something doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
A very different, very markedly different response than there has been for all these many years toward people who are coming. You know, I guess, you know, those people are walking over from, you know, as opposed to coming in. But I mean, you know, if the issue is truly that we do not send people back to their deaths, okay, and I actually agree with that. I mean, I think there should be a path toward, you know, seeking real asylum, because this is a principle, an important principle of people. It's not the same thing as, you know, automatically let in everybody who's looking for a better life. There's a difference between I want a better life and I am going to be sent back to certain death and torture. I mean, that's what the asylum, that's what, you know, genuine political asylum clause is for. I'm not an immigration lawyer, but I know that in our country, we have a provision for this, that we're not supposed to send people back if there's a genuine real possibility they're being sent to their death or torture. And that's what needs to be determined. And that's what there's a procedure for. But it seems to me that in recent years, this has been watered down, you know, so that now it's like in the one instance, anyone who has a hard life, you know, and I don't say that dismissively. I'm sure it's these people, there's a lot of suffering and hardship, but they're not necessarily in a state of true, you know, they're not necessarily facing genocide or torture, you know, but it's like there's this idea that anyone seeking a better life should be granted automatic political asylum if they're coming from the South, but yet other people who appear to be extremely desperate and in fear of, you know, for life and limb or being immediately sent back. It just seems like, you know, instead of the honored kind of principle being respected equally for all people who are trying to come here, you know, try to sort through who has a legitimate asylum claim, you know, and be consistent about it. Instead, it's like we're sort of being extremely lax with certain groups, and I think it sounds like kind of overly harsh with other groups and not even letting them make their claim. And it just seems inconsistent, and it doesn't seem like it's about humanitarianism. It seems like there's a lot of political stuff in the mix, and it's not the way it should be.
Let me say this before we go to break. I agree with everything that you're saying, but at the end of the day, I do believe that we need to have a solid policy on immigration and allowing people to come through on our border. Joe Biden has destroyed our border. Now, he changed everything else that Trump had in place, but unfortunately, he claims that he couldn't change the withdrawal from Afghanistan. This guy is a disaster. He's playing with us. We need to call him out, and we need a media to do it. And if they can't do it, then we need to stand up and we need to keep talking about it, because we cannot continue to let people come in through our southern border. They completely just obliterated the border. It's like for each his own, just walk in and do whatever you want to do. It's crazy.
Yeah, the Democrats definitely started this border crisis during the primaries when they all promised to give illegals free health care, free everything, basically begging them to come over here and not enforcing our border laws whatsoever. Ever since Joe Biden has taken office, we've just seen the uptick in illegals flocking to our border. During President Trump, he discouraged that. We actually seen the numbers start to go down with the immigrants trying to cross the border because they knew that they were going to be met with opposition. Joe Biden, it's just been an absolute disaster. Over a million illegals already apprehended at the border just this year alone. You're tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from Heather Robinson on After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew and our guest, Heather Robinson. She's with us dissecting the news, current events, and everything else in between. So when we went on break, we were talking about the Haitians and how the Biden administration is, without reservations, sending them back. They don't want them here for whatever reason. And it does beg the question, as Heather said, is there some racism that's going on here? I would think so. But quiet as is kept, no one in the liberal media is protesting. They're saying nothing about it. And as Heather said, is this something political? Is it because the Haitians, maybe they won't vote Democrat, or what is it? I'm thinking that they won't vote at all. And that's the reason why they want to send them back. But when you look at the scenes on TV at the southern border in Texas, the number of Haitians that are there, it is unbelievable. So it begs the question, what is going on there? Who's funding this? How did they get there? How did they get from Haiti to Mexico? It's unreal. Who's funding this? Is this another George Soros escapade? I can't figure it out. But no matter what it is, it's dangerous in my opinion. And this will not end well at all. We need to have border control. Joe Biden and his administration have just completely obliterated our border. Kamala Harris is yet to go there. She's supposed to be the border czar. She has not gone there. She stayed completely away from it. Alexander Mayorkas, the Homeland Security guy, his chief of staff recently quit. No one's talking about it because he himself knows that it is a disaster at the border. what more can be said? It is a complete disaster. We have everyone coming in, and no one is saying, well, have they had the COVID shots? Are we going to test them for COVID? No, they're just busing them all around the country. Maybe that is a reason why the number of COVID patients is increasing. Has anyone thought about that? Go ahead, Heather.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but when you contrast that, you know, to the way the Haitians are being treated, again, it's just such a stark contrast. On the one hand, you have people, Central Americans and Mexicans, you know, coming through the South who are not only being let in, but are being bussed in with COVID. And then you have these other unfortunate people who are not even being given a temporary place to stay while they make an asylum claim. They're being immediately, you know, sent back. Could it have something to do? And I'm speculating here with, you know, I mean, there's also agribusiness. There's the whole idea. I mean, I guess a lot of the migrant workers are coming, you know, a lot of the Mexicans and Central Americans and South Americans maybe are migrant workers and they work for very inexpensive wages and they, you know, maybe there's a big business component to this. Maybe there are businesses giving money to the Democrats and they want those people. You know what I mean? I'm just speculating. You know, why would the policy be so much more lax toward them if this is about a humanitarian kind of genuine concern? It doesn't seem to me then that these other obviously equally or more desperate people would just be, you know, stuck on a plane and sent back to hell within a day or two with absolutely no discussion. You know, it just seems very fishy.
It is fishy. It is very fishy that they would want to send them back and not the Mexicans at the border. Because as I said, when Barack Obama was in office, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, the two Bushes, they were all against Mexicans coming here. They all wanted border control. But then in 2014, I think it was, they did a little investigation or research and they realized that, wait a minute, if we let them come in, they could be potential Democrat voters. They being the individuals coming in from Mexico, the Mexicans, that would add to our voter roster. So let them all come in. Why not? That's the reason why they want them to come in. But then you look at the Cubans. Oh, we don't want the Cubans in. Send them back. Quiet as it's kept. We don't need them. Well, why not the Cubans? Well, because the Cubans could possibly vote Republican. Well, I think our entire political system is flawed. I think we need to rethink the powers that be, who's in power. Because when you think about it, when one party gets into power, they're pretty much controlling, they can control everything. They can put in judges that could last for a lifetime, and it could change the trajectory of the country, the trajectory that we would want it to be on. It has to be a balanced system somehow, and then let them fight it out. But giving so much power to one group at a time, I just think it's dangerous. And look at what we have now. Look at the administration that we have now. I don't care what anyone says. There is a problem with this administration. They have stumbled so many times. Well, not even stumbled. They have fallen down from Afghanistan, from the border to Afghanistan. Anyone were to say that Afghanistan was a success, they're lying, and they should have their heads checked. Mark Milley claims that, oh, well, it was a righteous strike recently when they killed 13 Afghanistanians. Seven of them were children. Because they thought that the person was getting ready to, have a suicide bomb or something. Are you serious? You mean our intelligence could not pick up what was happening there, our drones? No, it was a complete disaster, just like the pullout. They bombed a family, and now that family is saying, no one has called us to apologize, and because of it, we should be allowed to come to America. It's unfortunate what happened, but letting them come to America, no. I would definitely look into that background because, in my opinion, that family has the potential of having a terrorist to be coming out of it because they're mad as to what happened. I would be mad also. You just killed half of my family. And for what? Because you thought we were a terrorist, or were you trying to do something for show? This administration is a complete disaster. Look at the other day. France is saying that they had their ambassador to leave the United States because of Joe Biden's underhand dealings with Australia. Quiet as his cap, no one is saying anything about it. The media is all nothing to see here. And the UN is supposed to convene, I think, this week through next week. Joe Biden will be on the center stage. What the heck is he going to say? I hope the world leaders call him out and say, who is this guy? What is he doing? He has messed up the world stage. He has messed everything up. He has thrown it into complete chaos. And they said that Trump was going to do it. And if the media, the liberal media, CNN, Fox, even Fox, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, if they were worth their ink and writing, they would come out and say what has happened here has changed the trajectory of the world, what Biden has done. And we need to come together to put it back together. But they won't because they know that Joe is senile. Joe has a problem. And by calling it out, in essence, you're saying they would be saying that we have no confidence in America. We have no confidence in this leader. But in doing that, guys, it would also send the world into turmoil because you're now saying that the United States, which is supposed to be the world's superpower, they've got someone at the top who's dangerous. And that would send even the markets, it would probably send the markets into a tailspin. So I don't know what we can, I don't know what should be done now. I keep saying to impeach him, remove him, but we have gone so far into this administration with all the lies and the screw-ups that it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, at this point, you just have to try and stop the bleeding until 2022, and you can possibly get a Republican House and Senate back. I mean, we see Joe Biden, and the economy is one thing that really sticks out to me. I mean, gas here in Illinois is up to $3.40 a gallon, absolutely ridiculous, up over 40 cents from what it was just a year ago. Inflation is the worst tax that you can have because everybody pays for inflation. Poor people have to pay more money for groceries and gas and anything else they might get. So inflation is basically a tax on every single American that has to suffer. And we've seen it go up like we haven't seen it go up in a long time here under Joe Biden and his administration. And you look at we're no longer energy independent. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline, which cost over 11,000 high-paying jobs. It's just been a year of disaster. And hopefully next year we can take back that House, take back the Senate, and get some better news from there on out.
Yep, hopefully we'll be able to take back the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And if we don't, I hate to think what would happen. I mean, you look at what happened in California. I would have thought that they would have recalled Gavin Newsom, but they didn't. And now they're trying to recall the district attorney, Gascon. I don't know if they're going to be successful there. But California is not, it's not hemorrhaging. It's just completely, yeah. It's just out there. It's a complete disaster.
Let's just say it though. California is not the United States of America. Like people who want to act like Gavin Newsom not getting recalled is some kind of inclination of how the Republican Party is right now. California is so far left. We've seen it go that way for such a long time. So I don't think that says much about the 2022 midterm elections, what happened out there in California. Obviously, we were very disappointed, though.
Mm-hmm. California has become a shithole, unfortunately.
It's too bad. And, you know, I wanted to mention one other thing to you guys. I spoke this week and to a great source in Iraq. His name is Mithal Alalusi. He's a former Iraqi parliamentarian from 2005 till 2010. He is really a heroic figure, pro-America, pro-democracy, pro-normalized relations between Iraq and Israel. And his two sons were murdered because he spoke in favor of normalizing relations with Israel. I think maybe I've told you guys about him. For years, I've been writing about him. Anyway, I interviewed him at some length about the state of our country and what he believes the withdrawal from Afghanistan and, you know, in general, America's foreign policy portends for the future. And he is a very honorable source, a man who's put his life on the line to try to build democracy. And I certainly trust him to the extent that anything he says, I know is what he believes. He tells me that the terrorists are really celebrating over there. You know, they feel that America is out in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and in Saudi Arabia too. Apparently we just dismantled an anti-missile, some kind of a defense system in Saudi Arabia. You know, he said that really that there's a perception of weakness And, you know, he's not a big partisan Mithal. I mean, he's not a liberal or a conservative. He's an Iraqi, and he, you know, he doesn't hate Biden or anything. I mean, he just, his interest is a strong Iraq, but, you know, he tells me that this foreign policy is perceived as very weak.
Yeah, it's definitely very weak. And we see that with our allies there in South Korea, who are now sweating once again because North Korea is firing rockets. Kim Jong-un has no respect for Joe Biden or his administration. They're once again firing rockets into the air,
which is unfortunate again. I mean, and they all said that under President Trump, there would be a war with North Korea. There would be war after war after war. We don't see that. What we do see is a failed policy with Joe Biden. What we do see that China has become emboldened. What we do see that Russia has become emboldened and North Korea has become emboldened. And the United States has become weak as a result of Joe Biden. I can't believe that people voted for the guy. I can't believe that people aren't up in arms and saying he has to go. And it makes me believe that if 2024 comes around, you would have some knuckleheads that would possibly vote for him again and saying, oh, well, you know, he's less of two evils. What do you mean? We're giving up so much ground. The country has no is not respected by anyone, okay, because of Joe Biden, who's an imbecile. Now, I know some would say, don't say that about our leader. What else can I say about it? He refuses to take questions. When he's out on the stage, he says, well, I can't say this because they might get mad at me. Who is they?
Come on, man. Come
right.
on.
I want to know who is they. I'm tired of hearing about they.
Well, is
there no curiosity from the media? You mean to tell me that no one, when you have him there, no one's going to set aside the question that they have and say, Mr. President, I don't know about my other fellow journalists, but I want to know for the American people because they can't ask you directly.
Come on,
who
man.
Who is they? You know, just say, who is they? We want to know. Tell us now, who is they? I would even say the same thing of Tony Blinken. Who is they? What are you guys running up there? Are you guys running some type of sham show? Because we all know how they treated President Trump. And when you look at President Trump compared to the Biden administration, night and day, Trump by far exceeded him. Granted, there were a lot of leaks. Never understood the leaks. And I'm like, the easiest way to resolve the leaks is to put out something and say, hey, we're going to do this. And then when it gets out, you know, okay, this person was in the room when I said it. So it's between you four people who leaked it. I'm going to give you 15 minutes to tell me who it is. And if I don't find out, you're going to all get fired. Simple as that. You can shut down the leaks. There was too many leaks leaking to the reporters. Leak, 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 leak. And in this administration, things are being leaked. But they're probably going to the person saying, hey, we'll buy you off. Don't say this and don't say that. And they don't even have to do it because we see it with their own eyes. The dysfunction of this administration, the lies that they keep telling us with the vaccine, with the mandates, and trying to pivot a colossal disaster in Afghanistan. So in order to resolve that, we're going to say, hey, let's mandate everyone gets the vaccine so that that will run the news cycle. And they'll stop talking about Afghanistan. It'll also help Gavin Newsom because he's already requiring a mandate. Why require a mandate if the vaccine is so great? And Joe himself even said, well, I don't think we can do it constitutionally, but now you're going to try it. So now the people are going to run and talk about that. No, we here at After Dark, we're going to keep talking about Afghanistan because 13 soldiers lost their lives. 13 soldiers should be home right now. 13 soldiers should be with their family. One of those soldiers had a kid. That kid will never know who his father is because of Joe Biden and Tony Blinken and Mark Milley. 13 soldiers. Barely in their 20s, I think one might have been 30, lost their lives. There will be a plate missing at the dinner table because of Joe Biden. 13 soldiers. And then we have about 100 Americans left behind, enemy lines. I don't want to hear that, well, they didn't want to come back. No, they wanted to come back, but you couldn't get them back because you gave everything up to Afghanistan, up to the Taliban, the radicals. The terrorist, $80 billion. Just think about it. $80 billion. These feckless Democrats are always talking about reparations. Well, you could have started right there with the $80 billion that you gave to the Taliban. And they're going to probably use those weapons against us. And stop saying that they can't even figure this stuff out. Well, of course they can't figure it out. They'll let China figure it out. They'll let Russia figure it out. And as one of our guests said, and I do believe this, the military-industrial complex, it was all about money for them, making money. Going into these areas, getting all these consultants there, these defense contractors to make money, big money. And then once the generals were done, they go and sign up to some big defense contractor. They become the CEO of the board or member of the board to make more money. How much money do you grubby people need? And then you want to complain that the rich aren't paying their fair share? This is nonsense. And because that was on the hot seat, and it had them all, you know, moving around like, oh, what's next? What's next? Then they want to throw in this girl, this not a girl, but a woman, Gabby Pepitone or whatever her name is. She's missing. Everyone's talking about it. Okay. It's unfortunate. You know my position on it? I don't care. People turn up missing every day. Why are we so onto Gabby being missing? What's the big deal? Who was she? Who does she know? It makes no sense. People turn up missing every day. But we want to talk about her because she's a blonde. What about the brunettes? What about the redheads?
Yeah, of course. Well, listen,
you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, in this country, Rob, that has become, you know, increasingly about, you know, shocking and scaring and shaming. And yes, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of this is sensationalism and you know, it's not so much about a balanced kind of seeking of truth and informing the public in a balanced way and studying the issues. And hey, that's not as exciting, right? That's too boring. We gotta, you know, throw in a little, you know, drama and you know, curate it so it's all one way. And
but just think about it. We have spent so much time, not we, but the media has spent so much time on this missing woman. There are children that are missing, children that were missing last summer and the summer before that. They
How
get
about
barely
all
the coverage.
Children who've been mowed down in these cities.
Yeah, right. They don't get exposés. They don't get exposés.
Well, you know, in an era of Black Lives Matter, what about all their lives?
It is a nice change of pace to go to the news and not see them kissing Joe Biden's butt for a few minutes on the news stations. And they are actually covering this. I think people are just captivated by the whole story with Gabby Petito because all the mystery involved, it's like a live Dateline episode or something that you're seeing play out in front of your eyes. You get all these online detectives who think that they're experts and whatnot, giving clues and everything. People just get totally entrenched in this kind of thing. And the media is not stupid. They put up these Gabby Petito stories and they see the clicks that are coming in. That yesterday Fox News had a story up about the Brian Laundrie's dad going to the mailbox and getting the mail as their top story. I mean, this anything that has to do with this case is obviously just a media dream and the clicks are just rolling in. And it's very interesting to see.
You're right. And people are being deceived because look at how quickly they were able to change the topic. They were able to pivot. And we're not talking about poor Gabby. And they're showing her, she's kissing her boyfriend. I mean, the guy looked like a nutcase, to be honest with you. I'm like, when I saw the guy, I'm thinking, this is not going
to be anybody who's like 22 and's lost all their hair, you have to wonder.
I saw the guy, I'm thinking, are you serious? I mean, she was falling for this guy? Like, what? Like, come on. So, yes, but again,
well, careful, you're getting cooled in there.
Exactly. I'm dissecting this. But I thought, I don't care about this. There are too many other things. I want to stick with Joe Biden and the 13 soldiers that he murdered. He has blood on his hands. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about General Malley and him making a phone call to China. And people are saying, okay, there was nothing wrong here. Okay, let's say that there is nothing wrong here. Okay, that this happens. But as Nikki Haley said once in her book, as she wrote in her book, that there were individuals in the White House that thought they knew more than the president. They thought that they were the president. I don't care how many times people say that what Mark Milley did was okay. It was not okay. And he should not have ran to Bob Woodward with this information. It wasn't okay. He should resign, if nothing else. He should respect the country and say, okay, folks, I did it. And this is the reason why I did it. And I am allowed to talk to my counterparts. But Mark, you do know that there's protocol. And if you were so comfortable in making that phone call, why don't you just come out and make a video like you did when the St. John's Church was being burned and you felt that it was inappropriate for you to walk across the lawn with the president and say that wasn't right? Why don't you just make a video and just say, this is why I did it and this is what happened? Why do you want to wait until September 28th when you're supposed to go before Congress and talk about Afghanistan? See, again, they're throwing something else out there so that we'll have to pivot. But if I were those senators or representatives, when he got there, I would say, Mr. General Miley, this is what we're going to do. We're going to discuss both of these issues, but we're going to start out with, why did you make that phone call? Did you talk to the president? And don't you think you should resign? And why don't you think you should resign? No, I take it back. They should go to him and say, why won't you resign? And why don't you think you should resign? Yeah, that's all we want to know.
Let's be honest. Anyone who thinks that President Trump was going to attack China is a complete moron. I mean, President Trump was the most anti-war president we've had in quite some time. He was not going to attack China. And Miley, I don't know what this guy is thinking to even call China and give them the implication that like President Trump was thinking about it or something. That is just
dangerous.
That's dangerous and irresponsible. The guy could have started a war. He should be in a military prison immediately, as far as I'm concerned.
He should resign, because what he did, like you said, Andrew, what he did could have started a war. Every soldier that we've had to come on here, they've all said the same thing. We don't always agree with President Trump, but that is one thing that we will say, is that he was respected and feared by our enemies. And when you're in that part of the country, dealing with China, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, you have to be feared. They don't respect niceties. Because niceties, they see as being a weakness in your character. So they saw him and said, oh, this guy's crazy. Look at North Korea. He's crazy like a bat. He's crazier than I am. So they knew not to screw with him. But now that Joe Biden has come in, another Obama-like, bowing down, making jokes, trying to be the guy next door, we're not feared anymore. They look at us and laugh at us. We're the joke. Again, look at what France did, recalling their ambassadors. Look at what the prime minister of the UK did when this whole disastrous pullout in Afghanistan took place. He stood on the floor and said that Joe Biden, shame on him, and that he's never been in war and that he shouldn't talk about it. I mean, these people called out our resident Biden, and the media looked the other way.
And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. All kinds of new shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find it on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.